This is Matt Wells with UN News. In the days following the earthquake 10 years ago that killed around 220,000 Haitians, the sounds of praying, shouting and yelling filled the streets, and a sense that this was the end of the world. Well, that's one of the powerful memories from survivor Michelle Montas, the former UN spokesperson who just returned home to live in her native country, when disaster struck. Within hours, she was working with the UN peacekeeping mission MINUSTAH, helping coordinate a huge international aid effort, the UN having lost 102 of its own staff on that fateful day. To mark the 10th anniversary this week, she spoke to UN News' Cristina Silveiro.
It was one aftershock after the other. The initial one, I was in my house, and I lived with, I saw the walls being cracking. We all went out. Nobody stayed in the houses. For about two, 3 nights, I spent the following 3 nights with a group of school children and Catholic nuns who were across the street from me, and nobody would go inside buildings. And the sense that listening to people praying, shouting, yelling, with the sense that this was the end of the world. And that that really marked me and will stay with me the rest of my life. We realized how many people were impacted only the following few days. And the following few days, that's when I was called to join MINUSTAH. So I was retired from the UN, so I thought, and I was glad to join MINUSTAH because they were the only one who were capable of actually playing the coordinating role to help the aid that was pouring into Haiti while all the infrastructure was down, including the airport. How really the UN was able to channel that aid and distribute that aid.
Can you talk a bit about what it was like, that first response, the rescue and the emergency response? What was it like during those first days to get it off the ground? MINUSTAH was at the heart of it as well, as you just said.
Yes, it was. It was about digging people out of rubble, which was not easy. The Haitian government was all the administrative buildings had been destroyed. There was no national palace. The government was just functioning inside a police station, and the Haitian government could not react. Had no means to react, and the UN was there to actually get that aid, even though there were troops coming from the US, from Canada, from different countries arriving. But the first responders were people from the UN, troops from the UN, who actually were helping to dig people out of the rubble, were helping also to evacuate people who had been wounded, and helping the medical teams coming into Haiti to set up emergency clinics in the street. That's where people had to be amputated, had to be then transported to hospitals. They were not, hospitals that were really makeshift ones, because the real hospitals had collapsed. 50 centers and hospitals collapsed that day, and there was no way that the Haitian infrastructure could take care of those people. And the UN played an extraordinary role in evacuating some people who were actually, as soon as it was possible, to fly them out, to fly them to different places where they could be taken care of. I'm talking of the wounded.
Even though the UN had also itself been hit quite hard.
Yes, the UN was still trying to get people out of the rubble of the Christopher Hotel. The UN lost 102 people that day. And there were people who were from the civilian mission who had been working in that hotel. And almost very few people actually managed to get out alive.
How long did that emergency response last in terms of the organization and until it became less of an emergency response and more into rebuilding?
It took a while because even the rebuilding was done on a temporary basis. First, we had the tents for the people without lodging. Then we had a temporary lodging that were built. We had camps that had to be installed with water supply. And that took several months. Well, I would say up to 6 months before people could be taken care of. 6 months in which they had to be taken care of. The camps had to be set up. The food had to be distributed. Water was this a great problem, the distribution of water. And, you know, the medical help, all these, you know, where everything was urgent. Everything.
Meanwhile, the aid was being flown in.
Being flown in. It could not clog, was clogged into the airport. And to get that out to the people who needed it took weeks and weeks. There were a number of NGOs there. And I have to say, a lot of them came with, you know, wanting to help, but not always knowing how to help. And that's a good thing that the UN was there with the infrastructure. The aid infrastructure, UNICEF was there. You know, all the agencies of the United Nations were there within the civilian mission. They were not at that building that collapsed, but they were able to react pretty fast in terms of helping with the water, with food, and with the emergency response.
What was it like for you to go through such a catastrophe and then live through it? What has that brought you?
Well, I think it marked my life, and it's very difficult to forget it. I don't think I will ever forget it. I don't think any Haitian can forget it. Every time there is an anniversary, like this 10th anniversary, there was a 5th anniversary which was marked. People can tell you exactly where they were when it happened. They can tell you exactly what they were doing. They can tell you who they lost and in what circumstances. They can tell you about, you know, waiting for hours for a loved one to be taken out of rubbles. They can tell you with great precision, and I can tell you with great precision, when I got friends out, when I had to go to funerals, when I saw bodies being dumped in trucks and being taken to makeshift grave where they were dumping the body because they could not keep track. Because as the bodies were coming out, they had to be taken somewhere. They could not stay and rot. And these, you never forget this, never.
Is there something about human character or trait that you've learned from that experience?
Solidarity. Solidarity, whether it was the solidarity among Haitians was amazing, as you had, you know, people with the bare hands the first day trying to get people out from under the rubble. The solidarity of people from slums that's rushing to help people at the university that had collapsed. Students who were better off than they were. The solidarity, the international solidarity. I think the number of people who in the US, in Canada, in France, all over the world, who contributed as much as they could for, you know, people, for the first food aid, for water, for things that were immediately needed. And also the solidarity of countries. You know, I remember one medical team that flew from Israel immediately to and started operating in a tent in the street and taking care of people that needed to be amputated because they were going to be infected. They had been taken out of the rubble, but, you know, they had been there 7 days, 4 days or more.
Do you think today Haiti and Haitians are better prepared to face a catastrophe of that magnitude?
It's difficult to say. There were some things done, which we have Direction de la Protection Civile, which is the organism in charge of the prevention of disasters, that has been very efficient, had been efficient before for during different hurricanes, and were really reinforced by support from UNDP, for instance. And they are better able today to predict, for instance, hurricanes, and better able to respond to hurricanes, and have been better able to, within the last 10 years, to respond to hurricanes. But, you know, would they be able to face a new earthquake? I'm not sure. The reason being that essentially people try to rebuild once the international aid stopped. People started rebuilding their homes the way they could, with makeshift material, some of it with rubble from the earthquake in 2010. And those are very vulnerable and will probably collapse in case there is another earthquake. Haiti is better aware that it can happen. And you have Haitian specialists saying day in and day out, we have another possibility of another earthquake coming to the north of the country. And people are aware, and that's part of winning the battle, of making people aware, of knowing what to do in case it happens. Of course, something as catastrophic as the 2010 earthquake will meet a population with even more vulnerabilities. People are poorer today in Haiti than they were when the earthquake happened in 2010. The different things we have gone through have increased inequalities in Haiti, have increased the vulnerability of the population. So it's difficult to know whether, you know, Haitians would be able to better react. But at least people are aware, and at least there is a sense that, you know, we can, even though you, everywhere you have sign of the 2010 earthquake, broken churches, building that are destroyed in Port-au-Prince. But at the same time, when people see that, I think it makes them aware that it can happen again and that they have to do whatever they can to avoid it.
Do you have a final message that you'd like to say for this 10th anniversary?
You know, it's a sense of hope. A sense of hope because as a Haitian, I know that Haitians always manage, no matter how hard they are hit, to get up and stand up. They call it resilience. It's a word that I don't know if I want to use, because sometimes resilience means that you accept your fate. But, and at the same time, hope and pride of having been a member of the UN at the time it happened.